Hezekiah is the king. And the last time we looked at 2 Kings, back in chapter 19, way on back there, in chapter 19, do you remember that he was threatened by another king, an enemy? And he got this kind of nasty letter. And do you remember that he took the letter, went in and prayed immediately, laid the letter out before the Lord? We learned that what we want to do right away, no matter what our troubles are, is take it to the Lord. The old song, remember what a friend we have in Jesus? Did any of you remember singing that as younger people? Or, oh, what? Yeah, well, I won't go through all the words. You know them. And I think that. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Just take it. Just go to the Lord. You say, somebody's threatening that they're going to foreclose on me. Then take it to the Lord. Somebody says they don't like me, then take it to the Lord. Go to the Lord with it. And if it's a letter, just let him read it. Just sit still, no whine, and let him read it. So he can, he already knows what it says, but take it to God. Are you doing that? See, chances are good if you're kind of typical. Most of us take it to each other. You know what so-and-so said about me? What? She said, well, she's just that way. We didn't take it to the Lord. We took it to one another. Hey, heard. What's that old saying? There are many old sayings. You know that one? That's my favorite one. You know that one? A lie gets halfway around the world before the truth can get its shoes on. And I'm telling you, take it to God. Go straight to prayer before you do anything else about it. Don't go to the phone and dial. Go down on your knees and take it to Him. Dial later if He tells you, but begin that practice. Make it a habit of yours. And that's what Hezekiah did. Smart thing. He was a good king. Now when we get into chapter 20, in those days Hezekiah was sick. And the Bible says, sick unto death. Now that means he was so sick, he's going to die now. Now God must have figured that this was really important for you to read, because He put it in 2 Kings 20, in 2 Chronicles 32, and in Isaiah chapter 38. He put it in three different books. Now remember, Chronicles is written from God's perspective. First and Second Kings written from man's perspective, inspired the Word of God, yes. But you'll see, he was a good king, he was a bad king. What you read in First and Second Chronicles, this is how God sees it. And so, many times as you read a story, like we're going to read tonight, then you go to Second Chronicles to get a little bit more of the insight from God's perspective. Well, Hezekiah is going to die. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. Now, listen, that means people who love God and people who God loves do die. Well, and there's just a simple point without going any further. It is true. Many people ask, and they call and they ask me, or they ask one another, does North Country Chapel believe? Listen, you're North Country Chapel. They ought to be asking you. That's like it's something out there. What does North Country Chapel believe? It believes it's just a building. They say, do you believe in healing? Very, very good question. Many people ask that question. And the answer to that is yes, absolutely, because the Bible specifically teaches it from beginning to end. God heals. Now, some people say that healing went out with the apostles. But you're sitting here, aren't you? And that's because of God. Therefore, God is still in the business. He's the great physician. He heals. But now, because He heals, do you think you're going to stay healthy for 1,000 years? A lady that used to come to our church back in southern Arizona, she came up to me one time and she just didn't like the Bible study at all. And that's fine. Because I said something about John the apostle, and then finally I said that he died. And she said, you poor thing, don't you know John is still alive? I said, well, yes, I do know that. I know his body died and he went on to be with the Lord. No, he's still alive. He never died. He's 2,000 years old almost. I say, is this a joke? No! And I can show you a scripture, you'll never die. And I thought, oh. And she's also the same lady that she came to our Bible study at our house one time, and she had these, on both sides of her car, she had scriptures printed. But they weren't printed neatly. It looked like it was done with the fingernail polish, and it looked like it was graffiti, not scripture. And so it really looked bad. I hate to say that, but it just looked bad. Well, she came up to me and she said, you know, everywhere I drive, people stare at my car. I said, no, you got to be kidding. She said, do you know why? I said, no, tell me. She said, because angels are sitting on it. I said, that they're staring at your car because angels are riding it. Yes, and people, even non-Christians, they see the angels when I drive by. I said, how do you know? Because they stare. I said, do you think it might have anything to do with the beautiful artwork on both sides? No, that's scripture. And she tried to convince me that I would never physically die. I'm telling you, should the Lord tarry, no matter how many times He heals me and He heals you, we're going to die. You get used to the concept if you live long enough. It's going to happen to you too. Now, none of us knows the day or the hour. Right? Except in rare cases, we don't know when we're going to die, do we? So it would make sense to always be prepared. Now he's going to say to Hezekiah something like this. He was sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, he came to Hezekiah the king, and he said, thus saith the Lord. Now this is directly a word from the God, straight from the Lord's mouth. Set your house in order, for you shall die. You're not going to live any longer. King Hezekiah, you're sick. We don't know what it is. Some think it was a cancerous boil. Some think it may have been leprosy. We don't know really what the illness is, except that a boil is involved in it. And he says, you need to get your house in order because you're going to die. You will not come off this bed. You're going to die. Now, that was directly from God. Now, I like what God said. Set your house in order. Are you ready to die, Hezekiah? Because you're pretty sick now. You better get it together. You know, make sure that this is in place. If you're going to do kind of a will thing, Hezekiah, I know you don't feel well, but let's get it together because you're not going to come off this bed. You're going to die. And he's pretty sick. And so God says, get ready to go. Now, he got a warning. But you see, most of us, except in rare cases, most of us don't get a warning, do we? And so what that teaches us is we should have everything in order right now. Is everything in order? Are you ready to go? Because no man, you do not know the day or the hour. Now, I read in Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. There's an appointment I have with death, physical death. It's an appointment that I have. I just don't know when it is. But God has it scheduled. It's on His calendar. God knows when I'm going to be there. And you too. But the trick is, you don't know. I don't know. And so, are we ready to go? Now, you have to understand what's going on here. Hezekiah, just like David, just like Solomon, just like Isaac, just like Abraham, just like all of them, Rebecca, Deborah, just like all of them. There was a mystery that wasn't revealed to them that has been revealed to you. What I mean is this, you know what's on the other side. Solomon did not know that. It wasn't revealed to Solomon. He didn't know it. And so you know what Solomon said? He said something just like this. He said, you know what? Don't let me die because there's no remembrance of you in the grave. Do you remember when he said that? Don't let me die because then I can't praise you. Solomon did not understand what was on the other side of death. They sort of had an idea, but it wasn't revealed to them. It has been revealed to you, the church. In the New Testament, Paul lets you know things that David didn't know. He wasn't sure about. You know more than those Old Testament saints. Do you feel better about you now? But it'll make sense when you see the way he prays. He doesn't understand what's out there. He thinks death is just, I can't praise God no more. I can't serve God anymore. He doesn't understand what you and I now know to be a fact. 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That was a mystery in the Old Testament days. Now it's been revealed to the saints. And the truth is, when this body lays down and is finished, we don't cease. They say, well, in the grave, no one prays you. Not true. See, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. If your body stops right now, you'll be immediately with the Father in heaven because of Jesus. If you've accepted the Lord into your heart, let's not get carried away. I'm talking to you like you're all saved. Are you? Are you ready to go? You're going to meet God one way or the other. You want to be on the right side of the bench when it happens, when you meet the judge. People ask. They say, well, when someone dies, is it what we call soul sleep? Do they just go to sleep and then when the resurrection, on the day of resurrection, God calls them and then they wake up? No, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. But there's a word in there that I think we overlook because we're so thrilled about what we're learning. And the word is willing. Did you hear that? And that's because we're New Testament saints. We're part of the church. We know what's on the other side of death. Jesus conquered death. We have nothing to fear. We know He was risen from the dead, is risen from the dead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit raised Him from the dead. And He showed, He said, it's me. It's me, I'm alive. And I'm going to be with my Father. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Now you may be healed. Some of you have been healed, miraculously healed. Does God do that? Absolutely. But there still is coming a time when we're going to be finished with this tent. And it's going to lay down, it's going to wear out, parts are going to give up, and we're going to be dead. Or, the Lord will rapture. That's why Paul says, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, violently seized, snatched away. So it's true. If you have a loved one who has died, I'm sure you missed them. But if they are born again, they are in the presence of God. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. But you see, Hezekiah didn't understand that. He didn't understand it. And the Lord said, set your house in order, for you shall die and you shall not live. He was a little bothered about that. He turned his face to the wall and he prayed unto the Lord. Again, you got to consider it wisdom. He's under stress. He's sick. He's not well at all. Now he gets a message. The man of God comes in and says, you will not live. You're going to die. So he turns his face to the wall and he prays. Good idea. Sometimes you are in a position where only God can help you. Isn't that true? Sometimes you're in a position where only God Himself can help. Nothing else can be done. If God doesn't do anything, then nothing's going to happen. If God doesn't come through, then nothing's going to happen. We're used to depending on people, and that's good. We should be people that others can depend on. But are you leaning on God? Are you looking to God? Are you depending on the one who has the power? Too much do we lean on others and not enough on God. Hezekiah, he's sick. He turns his face away from people, just to the wall, and he begins to pray. That's what you want to do. What kind of trouble are you in? What kind of situation is it? Your health? Is it your finances? Are the finances in trouble? Is it your marriage? What is it? Are you in some kind of... Is it work? Maybe you can't find something. You turn your face privately to God. Sometimes, like I said, you're in a position where only God can help. So you're going to begin to pray for you. And of course, you want others to pray for you as well. I do suggest, and I think this is scriptural, that you just don't have anybody praying for you. And people think I'm weird, but I do suggest that you handpick them. Man, I'm telling you what, if I'm sick and I want a healing touch from God, I make sure I tell people who I have seen walking with Him. I don't want somebody to have to introduce themselves to Him. God, I'm Bill, and Bob wants me to pray for... I don't need that, okay? I got enough problems. I want someone who's... And so I look and I say, hey man, would you pray for me? I think you ought to be doing the same thing. Looking and saying, would you pray for me? And I wouldn't be putting it in the bulletin. I'd be looking. And so you want to start choosing wisely. Not that you're a judge at all, but you're going to see some people are really going to have a walk. I say, man, pray for me. What can I pray? Anything. Anything pops in your head? Perfect. Pray it for me. So you're going to be praying for others. And of course, you're going to, every once in a while, you're going to be praying for yourself. And Hezekiah is now praying for himself. And look what he prays. I beg you, Lord, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before you in truth and with a mature, complete heart. I have done that which is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept sorely, or sore. It means with a great weeping, wailing, just tears pouring. He's brokenhearted. He doesn't understand what's on the other side. Just as Solomon, just as all those. He didn't understand it. You and I'm sure if someone came to us today and said, you've got so much time to live, I'm sure immediately we'd be crying out to God. I think we would, wouldn't you? Immediately crying out saying, Lord. But the truth is, you still know. No matter what happens, you know what's on the other side. God has Jesus is preparing a place for you. He has paid the price for your sins. They are gone. You will not answer for your sins. You will only die physically. You will not experience real death, which is the second death. You know that. And so even though you'd be crying out to God, still inside there's this peace that passes all understanding that says, you're in my hands. I gotcha. Just like my dad used to say when they were trying to teach us to swim. You're a little nervous and that water is big. But my dad, he's holding you, say, I got you. I'm not going to let you. And he didn't let you fall. You know your dad would never let you fall. And your father is the same way. Heavenly Father, I've got you. I've got you here. Lord, and he begins to cry out to God. And he's weeping now with a great weeping. That's what it literally means. And it came to pass, before Isaiah even got outside the palace, the king's house, he's gone out into the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him again, saying this, go back now, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, behold, I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up into the house of the Lord. Did you hear that? He doesn't really understand what's on the other side there. But he's crying out. He's saying, oh God, wait a minute. You know, the enemy is still ready to attack. And Hezekiah said, my goodness, I can't go. Now, you know, Hezekiah at this point is only 39 years old. 39 years old. Now, in his mind, he's thinking that's pretty young. Now, if you're 16, he's an old dude, I know. But 39, he hasn't even hit 40. You know, life begins at 40. I read that somewhere. God says, Isaiah, go back. Go back and tell him. Now, if you're a Bible underliner, what a great spot. Let me read it to you again. Tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, your father. I have heard your prayer. Did you see that? Not only that, but I have seen your tears. Did you notice that about God? I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. God is paying attention to you and me. I do get questions often. Well, where is he? He ain't doing anything. Of course he is. If he wasn't, your breath would be gone. Of course he is. He may not be doing what you think he ought to do when he ought to do it, but if we really believe he's God and he's big and he knows everything, you ought to be glad about that. Okay, God, here's my idea. Now your will be done. Do what's good. Do what's best. We usually try to give him options. Well, you could take plan A or plan B, and God's thinking, you know, I got this plan C that's great. No, it's got to be A or B, okay? And I'm asking, and no, wait a minute. I have heard your prayer. God hears the prayer of the righteous. He promised that he would. Let me read to you Psalm 56, verses 8 through 11. Psalm 56. You tell my wanderings, or you know where I'm going. Put thou my tears into your bottle. Are they not in thy book? God records the tears of his people. He's got them recorded in a book. What, not crocodile tears, as they used to tell me, but the real sincere cry. The real sincere from the heart of brokenness, and you're crying out to the Lord. He records that in a book, collecting them. He says, put them in a bottle, save them. When I cry to you, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me, meaning he's on my side. In God I will praise his name. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? But first he says, you know where I'm traveling. Put my tears into your bottle. Aren't they put into your book? Psalm 4, verse 3. Psalm 4, verse 3. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Have you given your life to the Lord? Turned your heart over? Given yourself completely to God? If you have, you can say also with the psalmist, the Lord will hear when I call him unto him. The Lord will hear your prayer. He promised it. The Lord will hear what you've got to say. Psalm 20, verse 6. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. God hears and saves. Psalm 55, 17. Evening and morning and noon I will pray. I will cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. God will hear you. Some of you are thinking, I'm praying, but God is not hearing. No, God said, Hezekiah, I have heard your prayer, and I have seen your tears. I know what's going on. You can be assured that he hears you, and that he is listening. What throws you off is many times he doesn't move when you think he should move. And just because God isn't moving when I think he should doesn't mean he is not on the job. Does that make sense to you? Hezekiah turned and he cried, Lord, wait a minute. I've been doing good. I've been following you. Give me a break. Let me live. And he wept. And God said, I have heard your prayer, and I have seen your tears. God is paying attention to to those that are His. Psalm 145, verse 19. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him, reverence Him, respect Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Now, are you wanting God to hear? Are you really wanting Him to listen, to bend down His ear and to hear? He promised He would to the righteous. How do you become righteous? You must be born again from above. You must have Jesus Christ in your heart. Once you are a Christian, you know He will hear your cry. First John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the positions we've desired of Him. Prayer. Does that mean I can ask for anything I want and get it? No, we ask in accordance with His will. This is the confidence we have. We ask anything according to His will. We know He hears us. And so the question always arises, then how do I know the will of God? And that's pretty easy. Easier than most people think it is. You begin to have a personal relationship with Him. And we've heard it many times over the last few weeks. You'll hear it again. It is not a religion. Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship. A relationship with Jesus. Too many are walking on the edge, not really obeying the Lord their God, and then crying out to Him when there's trouble, when there are needs, when there's this, when there's that. But yet they're really out on the edge. They're out there and they're thinking, what's this, what's that? And God is using many times much of this, we learned in the New Testament, much of it to bring us back home like the prodigal son. Finally, he was so destitute and ready to eat with pigs and he thought, what am I doing? I want to go home. And God allowed him to get that low. Because when you're flat on the back, it's easier. Flat on your back, it's so much easier to see the stars. You know, you just all of a sudden go, whoa, this guy's kind of pretty. You think, man, what am I doing? I had to go home. In my father's house, even the servants are doing better than this. I got to go home. Well, he cried out. God said, I've heard your prayer and I've seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord. Now, is it a good thing that he's going to be healed? Or is it a bad thing? And we have to keep throwing this back and forth. Well, is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? And God said, you need to die. You need to come on and be with, you know, Abraham's bosom, the paradise there. I don't want to. Please, give me a break. Okay. Let's read on. I will add to your days 15 years. God, let me live. And he wept sorely. So God said, all right. I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. I'll give you another 15 years. Is that a good thing? Or is it a bad thing? You're going to find out. Turned out to be a bad thing. But wait, there's more. What would you pay? No. Did it have to be a bad thing? No. Now think. It didn't have to be a bad thing. But it's going to turn out to be the worst 15 years of his life. Didn't have to be. He had a choice to make. This teaches me something about prayer. God answers prayer. It also teaches me something about prayer. And Romans chapter 8 already taught it to me. I should have remembered. We don't know how we ought to pray. We don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot even be uttered. When you are there having no idea what to pray or even to make any noise, just sitting there silently, the Holy Spirit is praying. Do you ever wonder? Sometimes I'm sitting there quietly and I'm thinking, I'm going to pray and nothing's really coming to my head. And I'm thinking, I wonder what the Holy Spirit's praying for me. Makes me a little nervous. I wonder what He wants. Because the Holy Spirit Himself, God the Holy Spirit, makes intercession for you with groanings that cannot even be uttered. That means no noise. Because, like it or not, I know we're godly. Obviously we are. Look around. We don't know what we're doing. We do not know what we're doing. You don't know what you're asking, James and John. You don't know what you're asking. Aren't you glad that God didn't give you some of the things you asked for? You wanted to marry that guy and didn't work out, and you thought God didn't love you, and look at him now. He'll be out of prison in another 3 years. And you're going, Lord, thank you. I didn't see that side. You wanted to marry that girl, and you saw her last week and you said, Lord, don't ever listen to anything I ever say. Do what you want. There are times when you prayed and God said to you, no. I heard there's a country song, and I don't listen to country much because the country is the most dangerous music in the world today. You know why? You can understand the words. And there's this popular song, probably a year or so ago, I don't know, that I thank God for unanswered prayer. It's no such thing. He either said yes, no, or wait. That's what He says. You say, Lord, could I have those new shoes? He didn't go. You had to go, Lord, the shoes, you know the shoes? No such thing as unanswered prayer. Not for you, not for a believer. He may have said, sure, go ahead. Or He may have said, let's wait till your feet are bigger so you can handle those things. He's healed some of you, miraculously healed. And you can talk to people throughout the church and they'll give you their testimony. And it's a real, true, live, complete healing. Was it a bad thing? No, it's great. Now they got a choice to make with the rest of their lives, with that health. Because they're going to die anyway. Are they going to give it to God? Are they going to really serve full on? Are they going to do like Hezekiah is going to do? He got 15 more years, but it turned out to not be so good for him. But it was a choice that he made. Does God hear your prayers? I believe He does. According to Scripture, He is hearing your prayers. And He loves you and He's caring about you. And He wants more for you than you could ever think or ask. He wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. He wants to give you so much, and He's waiting till you get yourself into a position, or start listening to Him so He can get you in position, so He can start pouring out that stuff on you. That's what He wants for you. He wants to bless you. He wants everyone to look and say, God is working in that girl's life, and no one can deny it. God is working in that family, in that man, and there is no denying it. Even non-Christians have to admit Almighty God is doing something. His eyes go to and fro on the earth, looking for someone that He can show Himself strong through that person. And all you got to do to be that someone is just say, here am I. Tell me what to do. Show me how to do. Give me your Holy Spirit. Give me the gifts and let me serve you. Well, we got Hezekiah here who's going to live. God says, I'm going to give you 15 years, and I also will deliver you and this city out of the hands of the king of Assyria. I'll defeat the enemy for you too. Not only will I let you live, but I'll beat the enemies and get this over with. I'll defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David. Now remember, He promised David, right? Well, Isaiah said this, take a lump of figs. And they took it and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Now, listen, God miraculously did it, but yet he used some figs in the process. Some people seem to have problems with medicines today. They think faith is, don't take medicine. I don't see that in Scripture at all. As a matter of fact, if you want to see one of the most misunderstood verses, I think, in the New Testament, James chapter 5, verse 14. One of the most misunderstood verses and misused in the Bible. James 5:14 says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. There are two words for anointing. One is alipho, and it means to rub down with medicinal oil. There is another word called creio, and it is sacred or symbolic anointing. Sacred or symbolic. And God uses one word when he wants it to be sacred or symbolic, and he uses one word when he wants it to be medicinal. And he just happens to use the medicinal word here in James chapter 5. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. Interesting. God doesn't leave out medical help. And so people say to me, we were praying Sunday at church and God healed me. And I say, great, because God can do it. Now let your doctor tell you you're healed. Go and let him check. And when he says, it's gone, man, that cancer is gone, then now you tell the whole world, the Lord healed me and my doctor's here to prove it. Too many people are saying, I'm healed. They won't let anybody check it. And their children die, and they die. And of course, they're in lawsuits. Why are you so afraid if God really has healed? Because God can do anything. Well, when Jesus healed those lepers, what did he tell them to do? Go get checked out. Go straight to get checked out. Before you do anything else, go straight to the priest and let him check. Why? Because when God heals you, there's nothing to hide. You're healed. All the way. It's not like it's going to come back on you or it's only going to be partially fixed. When God heals, he heals completely. Oh, sometimes he'll do it over time. Sometimes he'll do it instantly. But when God does it, it's done. And there's any doctor will tell you, you're well. Interesting. Well, they took some figs, drew out the poison. Very common practice in those days. I understand it's still used in places in the Far East that way. Hezekiah said to Isaiah, verse 8, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me? And that I shall go up into the house the third day. I'm not feeling much better. How will I know? Isaiah said, This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go backwards? Whatever you pick, we'll just do it, and that will be the sign to show you that the healing will be complete. Hezekiah said, the shadow always goes forward. That's a light thing. That's nothing. Go down 10 degrees. No, let the shadow return. Go backwards 10 degrees. Now, many people wanted to fight over, how did that happen? How did he make the earth go backwards? Did he make the sun go backwards? You know, what I know is this. The shadow went backwards 10 degrees. That's what I know. And Isaiah the prophet cried to the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. They had a sundial, you could see it go backwards. At that time, Berodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, he sent letters and a present to Hezekiah. He sent him a get-well card and a gift because he heard Hezekiah had been sick. Now Hezekiah is well. Hezekiah hearkened unto them and the visitors that brought the get-well stuff, and he showed them the whole house of his precious things, the silver and the gold, the spices, the precious ornament, and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in the house nor in his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. The enemy from Babylon came in, looking to see what they could see. They brought him a get well card and some flowers and probably some chocolate and some nice things. And Hezekiah, not thinking well, first, one of his first mistakes is he shows the enemy everything he's got. All his stuff. His life was lengthened 15 years. Now he shows the enemies what he's got. And Isaiah the prophet came to King Hezekiah, said to him, "What did these men say? Where did they come from?" Hezekiah said, "They've come from Babylon." Hasn't God been prophesying that he's going to take his children into Babylon, into captivity? Isaiah knows that, but you would think Hezekiah does. And Isaiah said this, "What have they seen in the house, those guys that came from Babylon?" Hezekiah answered, "Everything that are in my house, they have seen everything, all the things. There's nothing among my treasures that I haven't shown them." They saw all the wealth. They saw all the weapons. They knew what Israel had, what they could do. Any time they felt like now coming in, they knew right where the money was hidden, right where everything was. You wouldn't do that, Hezekiah. You weren't thinking. It was a trick. You got fooled. Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in your house and that which your fathers have laid up in store to this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of your sons that shall be born from you, which you shall beget, they shall be taken away, and they shall become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." His children are going to be taken captive. Then Hezekiah said to the Lord, good is the word of the Lord, which you have spoken. And he said, Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? Really, that is terrible. You know what he said? Great, at least everything's going to be fine while I'm still alive. Now, something wrong here. You just crying and saying, "I want to serve you, God, I'm yours, remember?" That's when you were sick. Now you're well and you're going, "Oh, well, sorry for my kids, too bad. At least everything's going to be fine while I'm still alive." And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah, all his might, how he made a pool and conduit and brought water to the city, they're written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah. And Hezekiah died, was buried with his fathers, and his son, Manasseh, reigned in his place. Before we share communion, three things happened to Hezekiah after his life was lengthened. He made a mistake by showing Judah's material wealth and weaponry to the enemy, the king of Babylon. Should have never done that. Been better off if he'd have died. Number two, he had a son named Manasseh who turned out to be the most wicked king of all Israel. Even worse than Ahab and Jezebel together. This guy turned out to be the worst ever. And number three, which I read in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 25, his heart was filled with pride. After his healing, and he got up, had 15 years to go. Number one, he made the mistake of showing the enemy everything, so the enemy was able to waltz in just about. Number two, he had a son, Manasseh, who turned out to be the worst king in all of Israel's history, of the north and south put together. And number three, 2 Chronicles 32:25, I'll read it to you. Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. When God hears your prayer, and he does answer, you've got some choices to make. God gave Hezekiah 15 more years. They should have been 15 years completely full on for God. And instead, he got himself in trouble. When you cry out to God and you see God answer, you thank the Lord for his answer and you listen and you continue to commit your life and you stay there and you say, "Lord, give me the strength to stay right where I belong, to be here, to stay in your presence. Fill me with your spirit that I might walk today with you. Not go to the left or to the right, wander off. Don't let me rise up or go down. Just let me stay right with you." Because God hears your prayer. And God does answer. And when God answers, Whatever he says, listen to him. Trust him. And pray that you make choices that are wise choices. We learn from Hezekiah's life. He was a good king, one of the best besides David. But went off there at the end. We don't want that said about any of us. Yeah, they were great. They followed God for a while, but they got in a little trouble, and from then on they went off. They got wild. He hears your prayers. Are you crying out to him? He says, I've heard your prayer. I see your tears. Cry out to God.